Item number three, report and possible discussion on report from the Bogdan Group, John Haas.
I'll just introduce Richard. I'll let Richard go through the document that we passed out to y'all for.
Thank you. There's an executive summary on page one of the report. The major items of which are the asset allocation, which is a little bit overweighted, if you will, in domestic equities. One of the things we had talked about at the last meeting and we're going to talk about later was deploying part of that into some REITs and into some MLPs, and deploying some of the fixed income also. So that was just going to be a temporary situation. But we're within, if you will, range on all asset classes. Performance, the total fund versus the index being what we would have achieved had we been invested in passive indexes. That is, if you've been in the S&P 500 and in the Lehman aggregate, over the last 5 years, would have had about a 1.8% return. The overall plan returned 1.1% and winds up in the last quartile compared to other total funds.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
To me, that just seems real tragic for our plan to be that much lower when we've got experts managing our money. What do you say to that?
Well, part of the I guess part of the reason is you've only been in stocks and bonds. A lot of the other plans have had other asset classes over that same time period also. The other part is you didn't move into, if you will, some of the international securities and into smaller capitalization securities until, I think we had up there like 2010. So you were out of those asset classes during most of that 5 year time frame. The other part has to do with the overall market itself and being in public equities primarily over the last 5 years, with one of the three worst equity markets of the last 100 years, is going to impact the overall return.
Yeah, but you equalize that with the index return.
Right. That's right. And so you were under the index. The index,
in spite of that, we were still under it.
Right.
Is it prudent for us to explore the use of index funds?
It's always prudent to explore that. I will have to tell you, though, I'm in the camp that you wind up with a good diversification of active managers. You will come out ahead over a long period of time. It seems like what you get from the index funds are that when they're really doing well, you get all kinds of articles on them. When they're not, you never hear anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And normally, except for the 2008 time frame, normally in a big down market like that, active management actually does do significantly better. That time frame, it didn't. It was an anomaly. And I think that going back to past records over a much longer period of time, that active management and down markets will tend to do better going forward. And that's where you really need the protection, is during down markets. So if you're down 50%, you have to go up 100% to get back to where you were. If you are down 30%, you really only have to go up maybe 50% to get back where you were. So it's very, very important to see if you can add some stability on the downside. And that's one of the things we've been talking about, from additional diversification, to try and add some of that stability in down markets.
If
And on pages 2 and 3 is just pie charts of the overall allocation from the standpoint of the overall exposure to domestic equity, international equity, fixed income, and cash equivalents over the last couple of quarters. At the end of September, almost 48% in domestic equity, international equity 15, fixed income right at 35, and you normally include cash equivalents into the fixed income bucket, which puts the cash, the overall fixed income up close to around 38% or 37. And the manager, allocation, BlackRock has been around with the fund for a very long period of time, and most of the assets are with BlackRock. Their large cap core equity strategy is 38% of the assets, fixed income 35%, Harbor International, which was the 2010 move into international securities 15%, and the Royce Premier Fund moving down in capitalization 11%. That's the current allocation by manager.
We originally, in the Royce, you may remember, Royce was originally a 10% stake that was 10% we invested in,
right.
And Harbor was 15, so we see they're just slightly above.
Just,
that.
Yeah.
Now, really, we've had no, some of that's because we've taken the money out of those.
So we have, the Harbor and the Royce, we've invested in those, and we've left them alone, and they've gone down in value some $1.5 million.
No, they shouldn't have gone. I don't think they did. We haven't taken any. We haven't had. We had any redemptions of either Harbor or Royce.
Broke out of paying the fee.
Yeah. So that's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no withdrawals of value.
So they've gone down significantly in value since June. Right.
What? You're.
Where are you?
On page 3. Chart.
Oh, you're talking about percentage-wise.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a dollar amount from 3.98 to 3 million. That's 900,000. 910,000.
Yeah, they're down. Of course, everything was down. That's right. But you're exactly right. Sure. Okay. They've gone down from
significant
for this quarter. Of course, the large cap.
Fixed income is.
Fixed income stayed pretty close.
Still down
from 3 months, but it was down a little bit. The other ones, the equities were all quite a bit down.
But the fixed incomes, let's see, we went up in value.
Hey, if you flip over to the next page, but you're on page 4, it gives you the numbers.
Okay.
Use the hard numbers instead of just the chart.
Well, and I was looking for the hard numbers.
Yeah, and that's for the quarter, the yep. Change in the overall quarter from the end of June to the end of December.
There's the 900,000 I was talking about. Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole portfolio was off about 12% for the last quarter.
It was a very bad quarter.
Yeah, well, it was everywhere. I mean, that's
right.
And there were very few places to hide during that time.
But if you apply 12% to most of those, that's about where it's going to be.
And knock on wood, I think we've recovered a significant portion of that in the month of October, and hopefully, during the rest of this quarter.
You have any feel for what October's done?
Well, the overall equity market during the month was up like 11.5% when you look at large and small. I do not know yet. I haven't seen any data on the portfolio valuation at the end of the quarter, but it should have been much better.
Definitely better.
Yeah.
The BlackRock equity portfolio is back in the green, it's up 1.45.
For the year?
Yes, sir.
Well, the Royce was down about 18.7%. The Harbor was down 20 to almost 23% for the quarter.
Small cap and international both took a hit this quarter, yeah.
Well, the returns, if you'd like to move to those, are, and are on pages 6 and 7, are starting on 6 and 7, looking at the total returns from the various asset classes. And yeah, as I said earlier, during down quarters, active management tends to add some sort of value versus what happens with the overall indexes. And that's, if you look on page 6, that's what happened in 2008. It was a terrible, terrible year. The index was down 22% from standpoint of stocks and bonds. The fund was down 18. That's a 4%, you know, better performance. Still, 18% is a very, very tough, you know, hole to crawl out of. In 2009, lagged as higher quality securities lagged in that upward market, and BlackRock, with most of the assets during 2009, would have been in higher quality securities and would have lagged somewhat.
Basically, the S&P 500, would it not be? When their portion, it was basically the S&P 500.
That was
BlackRock in 2009, because we didn't make a policy change until 2010.
You mean that from the standpoint of 2009, their return, overall return?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. They didn't have any. The Harbor and the Royce weren't in play in 2009.
And they were basically confined to the S&P 500, which didn't do that good.
That's right. Well,
did okay, but not as good as the rest of the market.
Yeah, and there were significant gains out of the smaller capitalization securities, sure, during 2009, which drove the overall market up. And then in 2010, another lag, as we still had a big bump going on from lower quality securities during that time frame.
We'd have to go back to 06. Seems like we don't go down quite as much, or say 85-87%, but we don't go up as much, like what you're talking about, Leroy. I have a question on page 5. The fixed income sector was the only sector that made money, yet we were off on that allocation 4.6%. Richard, why would we be down when that sector is the one we want to be on our target? It's making money, so
well,
it's growing.
The time frame before that, the other sectors were doing so much better. And so it left fixed income with a lower, quote-unquote, relative allocation. And as we talked about the last meeting, was moving some of that equity into other asset classes.
So we took money out of the only.
If we'd have taken it out, no, we didn't take it out.
What did we do?
Before that, it was returning much lower returns, and the equity was moving forward at much quicker.
Okay, so this is based upon what day? Last quarter?
This allocation is based on September 30th period.
Okay.
In other words, the equity portion of it outgrew the fixed income. Disproportionate.
Over the previous year and a half or so.
Well, that's okay. So what were we in June?
Relatively the same thing. I think you were a little bit more, a little bit less.
Down in value, and our fixed income went up in value. We could have been. In other words, we had to get closer if the value of the fixed income went up.
Right.
Well, so, made money. Equities did.
Somewhere it has the beginning of the quarter and the end of the quarter. Where is that?
In June, I brought last quarter.
Okay. So
June, that same chart, at the end of June 30th, fixed income was 8% below the target.
Okay.
So that's right. It's actually come
right
up.
Okay. And we were talking about using that excess equity to put into
that answers it.
MLPs and REITs.
It didn't tell me.
It was even less, because prior to that, the equities had rose so much it left the relative size of it.
Okay. So we did improve.
We did improve.
Fixed income.
Equity was coming down this quarter, made made that 8%.
It's not the way you like to improve.
No,
you like to take money out while it was still high and move it somewhere, but.
That was kind of my point.
Yeah. I mean.
Okay.
All right. And then on, if we could move to page, I guess to page 9, or 8 and 9, 8 being the annual returns, and here again we talked about how the overall fund did during 2009, and this shows the difference between what happened with BlackRock Large Cap Core doing significantly better than the S&P 500 in 2008 and lagging in 2009, lagging in 2010, and fixed income doing significantly better than the index in 2008, lagging in 2009, which was a big credit, if you will, move during that time frame. And then pretty much on what was happening with the index in 2010. the last quarter, as you well know, was not a good quarter, especially for the equity markets. Total domestic equity was down 16.9%. BlackRock was down 16.4%, but has a positive return for the trailing 1 year of 3.5%. From the standpoint of Royce Premier, they did better than their overall index, the Russell 2500, but less return, if you will, than the BlackRock Large Cap Core being. They were down almost 19%, and the trailing 1 year up 2.4%. From the standpoint of Harbor International, and we all know that International really had a bad quarter with what was going on primarily in Greece and the Eurozone. The international return of Harbor was down 22.7%. Misky World XUS was down 19.8%. Harbor had a little bit higher exposure to the emerging market area, which caused the underperformance in the one quarter. From trailing 1 year, in line with the index, with a negative return of 10.2%. Long term, though, exposure to emerging markets should provide significant, if you will, additional benefit to the plan. That's where most of the world's growth is coming from. I know that it's very, very volatile, and hopefully Harbor will be in and out of that area at the appropriate times. This time they were a little bit on the underperforming side. Long term, though.
Excuse me, just one thing. Just make the Harbor, just like you said, if you look at the 1 year, they're really right on their index, I guess, for the last year. And of course, Royce was actually quite a bit better than the Russell 2500 index, which means obviously, it's like we were talking about, they sort of outperformed the index, which is what
right.
you look for. In that, but Harbor didn't really necessarily outperform the index on the international. I guess it just has to do with their relative.
Well, it was their relative exposure to the emerging markets that pulled them down at the end of that time frame. But compared to other managers, there are two things. Number one, we're basically trying to outperform the index. And number two, we want our managers to do better than most other managers out there. So if you look at the numbers in parentheses, are the rank of the manager compared to other similarly run portfolios.
And low numbers are good.
Low numbers are good. And BlackRock was in the 19th percentile during that trailing one-year time frame compared to other large-cap core managers. They were in the first quartile with a rank of 19. Royce Premier, compared to other small to mid-cap managers in the core area, had a rank of 9, puts them in the first quartile. From the standpoint of Harbor, they had a rank of 39, so they're above average, which we're looking for. Number one, consistently above average compared to other managers. They were above average, They were slightly under the index. From standpoint of fixed income, this last quarter, BlackRock fixed income did very, very well on a relative basis, not so well on a year-to-date basis, and below average for the trailing 1 year, with a positive 4.7% return, and below average from the standpoint of managed portfolios out through the 5 year time frame. But right on top of the overall index during that time frame, 6.4 versus 6.5. On pages.
Let me ask one question, yes. Jeff, on that, because I think we're on. You obviously did well this quarter relative to your peers, I guess. But obviously, the last couple of quarters, the quarter ending 6:30 and back there, I mean, you were way down. Did you already hit on that? Was that something that y'all changed anything on the fixed income side?
I haven't changed anything. Sometimes, the equities compared to the benchmark are always going to be pretty similar. On comparing fixed income on clients that have formal investment policy statements, the indexes, especially if you look at the aggregate or the intermediate aggregate, there's a lot of that market that is completely off limits to us because of the investment policy restrictions in it. So, and that's the one area I would say you can't really just look at the index and assume that you're going to be at that performance, because there's a part of that pond that we can't fish in.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that that's a big part of the overall return, but we've taken that restriction off. It's no longer there. It's basically whatever you think is creditworthy.
Correct. But
historically, you were kind of lumped into one, sector of that index. Okay.
But again, as a practice, we will not, buy anything that's not investment grade. It's initially purchased, just that's our policy there.
Right. On page 10, it's really a graphic portrayal of the numbers we saw earlier from the standpoint of the total fund and how it's performed against other total funds and against the index. The boxes, for a quick review, basically represent the dispersion of total plans. From all public plans that are in the universe, the top of the box are two standard deviations of plans. The bottoms are two standard deviations below average, and the line in the middle is the median return of public plans for that time frame. And the lines in the top box and the bottom box basically break the quartiles. So. From that standpoint, you can just take a quick look and see, okay, is my blue square above or below the center line? If it's below the center line, you're below median. If it's above the center line, you're above median. For the year, we're above median. For 2, 3, 4, and 5 years, below. You can also see from the standpoint of trailing calendar years over to the right-hand side, in 2006 we were significantly above median, 2007 below, 2008 when it got to be a really bad market, we were significantly above the median return. 2009 when the bounce came, we lagged, and 2010 lagged a little bit.
Seems that the pattern has been, this is kind of what I was seeing in the numbers that we need to understand, is that it seems like our investment advisors do a pretty good job keeping us from losing so much money, but not quite as good a job when it's time or when the market's making money. Is that a fair general
statement? That's a fair statement.
When we look at the returns, we have to reconcile our commitment to our employees to these numbers. and they're pretty far off.
They play better defense than offense.
Yes.
Well, you know, sometimes the really good defense will win over the long frame time frame, but we really need to add some additional diversification here that will give us some more participation when that upside comes. And that's what we're, you know, trying to do over moving forward. And I really, you know, even though, well, it doesn't show it in 2009, but it does show that you're only slightly under there, you know, from the standpoint of the median return in 2010, when you had part of that year, you had some additional diversification into the small mid-cap area.
Yeah.
On the next page, on page 11, what we would really like to see on the upper left-hand box are having a lot of blue boxes above that line, showing that value is being added on a rolling three-year basis. And we'd also like to see the blue box above the red dots moving forward on the upper right-hand corner. And that pretty much concludes the presentation that I had planned. Any additional? I know we've had a lot of give and take here, but are there any additional questions?
How would you, seeing that our boxes aren't like where we want them to be, how would you rate our system on letter grading? If you were to grade us on A, B, C, D, E, F?
You know, given
being very candid, I mean that's what we've hired.
Yeah, I would say you're kind of in a C minus, almost a D area.
What do we do about that? Buy something different? MLPs?
Well, one of the things you do about that is you try and get a little bit additional diversification. The other thing we do about that is, you know, and with that additional diversification, it may mean additional diversification within the public sector, too. But you definitely need some additional diversification from the standpoint of the types of asset classes that you have in the plan. I think that one of the things we're going to talk about here later, I did got some information on how to get into MLPs and what they have done over time. We also have some information on REITs and some managers that have done a fairly good job in REITs. I know that in every market cycle, REITs don't wind up at the top, but on a long-term basis, they do add diversification and they do add, you know, some significant positive returns.
Well, if you go back and look, I'm sorry, Peter. If you go back and look at the last 10 years, we were basically confined to the S&P 500, which is an asset class that's done miserably the whole time, and a lack of diversification just killed us. I mean, now, how that diversification ought to be handled from this point forward is a $64 question, but being confined to the S&P 500 has just been a disaster for the last 10 years.
Well, we had two of the worst equity markets of the last 100 years in that 10-year time frame.
Absolutely. And that's fine, but we've done worse when you reconcile it to the index. We have.
Right.
That's why we're C minus.
Right.
And we've got to reconcile that as our plan has done poorly, not because the market's done poorly. It's done poorer than poorly. And I don't know, you know, as a banker, risk management is the big factor, along with research additional risk. We've got to recognize what those risks are.
Right.
Because we've done we made bad guesses in some of our asset diversification. And the market's been terrible. But it really has hurt a lot of people,
right,
and hurt a lot of value in assets. And we one of the things I'm certain of is that when you have a low interest rate environment, we've got to be extremely careful when you try to change your investment policy to strain for yield, because that's when a lot of mistakes are made. That's
right.
I'm certain of that.
I totally agree with you, and that's, you know, quite frankly, one of the reasons we moved towards an intermediate on the bond side, so that we weren't straining for yield by going out in duration. Because, quite frankly, I really think that on a longer-term basis, one of the more risky areas of the overall market are government securities, because you can't, you're not getting additional yield because of, you know, credit factors, and all you're going to have is if, or when, it's not if, because they're going to raise interest rates at some point. And when that happens, it's just a pure mathematical game, and you can't get out of it if you've got longer dated securities.
Yeah, it didn't go down in value.
What did they say our average maturity is now, on our fixed income?
Four and a half years.
So did you long extend that?
The average maturity, that would probably put the duration around 2.5, 3?
3.7.
3.7? Well, see, the thing about that would be, yeah, you're going to take a little bit of a hit initially, but the real benefit is that within like a 2-year time frame, the portfolio will replenish itself because things will be maturing and they will be buying into those higher yielding assets as that happens. If you've got an average maturity of 15 years, you're going to have 10 years before you can get out of the hole.
But the reciprocating is true and has been true in that we all thought rates were, we thought they might go up before they have. Yeah. They've actually gone down a little bit, and that's why we made a little impact.
Bill Gross.
And so who's going to predict rates? We don't want to posture our, you know, put our portfolio in a position where we have to be guessing.
Right.
And just want to understand what the risk would be if they do go up. So both happens. They both right. happens, and we've seen that. We've seen a lot of bonds get called, and they get, you know, the only replacement for it now is a 1% bond.
What do we do?
You stay in that kind of duration.
We paid off some to get the lower yield, lower cost.
I mean, money rates have just stayed so low
right.
for so long that it's becoming very, very difficult to get any yield whatsoever, if it's a safe investment, a great deal. That's a concern when you're promising 7% to our staff on the long run, because it's been like this for a long time now, and they're saying another 2 years it's going to be like this.
And that's the other factor about trying to gain additional diversification, to find things that will add some stability, like traditionally fixed income does, but to also add some sort of hopefully capital appreciation that fixed income doesn't give.
Well, everybody's got the same problem.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
John?
Okay. Any other questions on the performance tonight?